you stumbled upon our podcast. I hope you got your lighter. Sup, I'm Lotta Locks. And that's Marquise. Marquise, say what up.
What's good, what's good?
Today, our guest is Emily Torres with Emily Torres Media. All right. Thank you for coming, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So what y'all smoking on? As I'm about to light up.
I got Top Cuts peanut butter cookies.
Of course.
Exquisite taste. Probably the best thing that they grow. Big shout out to Top Cut family. They just lost their head grower. So if anyone sees this and they buy Top Cut, QR code on the front connects right to their GoFundMe for them. Drop a couple dollars for somebody that kept you high. It's the least you could do.
Yeah, like lost him, like rest in peace. Not like he left them.
Yeah, nah, he passed. He passed away about a week and a half ago.
That's crazy. That, the impact of someone being your top grower and, you know, hopefully people really learn from him, but.
Yeah, this is like probably like one of the last crops he may have touched.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But that and the Godfather Kush from House of Cultivar.
Okay. Mixed up in a fronto?
Nah, I rolled one and then another one. You know me. Put out the Roach and Let brand new app.
Emily, what you smoking on?
Well, I only rolled the one because things are a little different out here. But I was telling you, Lotta, before that I saved this one for this podcast. It's a strawberry OG. It's grown here. That's why it's Fatima Verde. It says sativa 60%, indica 40. I don't buy that at all. But I actually feel like this has, like, it's higher concentration sativa than this laser beam, which I've been smoking a lot, which is why I saved it for this so that I can, like, actually converse with you guys.
So I'm smoking Lucky Devil's Vortex. It's a hybrid, but it's sativa dominant. And it's banging right now. It's a nice, clean, easy smoke, which, you know, I like me some sativa. It's pretty little nug.
That's beautiful, yes.
Right? So
I had already crushed mine. My shits are like that big.
Show us what a nug looks like.
Oh. This is for this laser beam.
Mm-hmm. But that's just the crop, right, Keith? Like how, like what type of, the genetics of the plant, what the nugs is going to look like.
Yeah, a lot of times the genetics will determine the shape and size of nugs. Sativas tend to grow longer, like skinnier. Indicas tend to grow like those fat nugs that everybody's like accustomed to and loves.
Yeah.
Sativas usually don't bear as much flower as indicas do. That's why a lot of farms will take like a good sativa and cross it with like a more hardy indica and then give them a little bit more bang for their buck.
Well, that's dope. And you need to learn. Hey.
Exactly. Sad face. I pulled out my tip.
Like, you see the video of the kid that lights the joint and like tries to blow it out and everything comes out of his joint.
Yeah,
like,
everything.
All the flower comes right out.
That's so terrible.
Yo, I would cry.
Send that, please. I'll edit it in.
Okay. What was I going to say? Something about, what's the another term for a nug? A cola.
Colas are the top pot. Colas would be at the height of the plant. So that's like the big nug that grows right at the top. There's methods that growers use to basically make a plant form more than one cola.
It
starts off, you just got one cola. It's called cropping. It's cropping and then there's super cropping. Cropping is just when you pinch the top node. The node comes out of the top of the plant like so. And usually one takes over and becomes like that main dominant top. But what you do is you take the top and you just pluck off these parts right here to nubs. And what happens is when the plant regenerates, once the plant gets a signal that the cola is damaged, it starts to send nutrients to that area, and what happens is one node then becomes two, two nodes then become four. And if you keep doing it, you get more colas, and then you have to like train your plant so all those colas get like the same amount of light and are able to grow and fucking produce big fat nugs for you.
Boom. Okay.
Well, that shit is dope. That's really interesting. However, cola as in Coca-Cola? Like, how do you spell that?
I've seen it both ways, because I've seen C-O-L-A and I've seen K-O-L-A. So just Google both of them. I'm going to say Keith is more right than I am, because I'm not. I'm in Florida. Spelling? Yeah.
I'm like a huge spelling nerd. Sorry.
Yeah. I'll send it to you at the end. What was your question, though? It was a really good one about the market down there, that it's medicinal.
Yeah. It's recreational.
Yeah. Talk to us about
recreational,
it.
Medical.
Yeah. Talk to us about that.
Well, yeah. So the market is medical, kind of in the same way as California. I used to live in California for about a year and a half. And I feel like the Puerto Rico market is right now where California was in 2016. Right. Oh, no. So
I mean, it's good for the consumer because it gives you a lot more options. But what happens is eventually you subside to chaos like Cali has, where your illicit market makes 10 times that of your legal market, and it's hard as fuck to funnel people into your stores and get them to buy the same weed that they're getting on the streets for a fraction of the price. You know what I mean? So
money.
Yeah. One thing, and I guess in that sense, I have noticed it be a little bit different, particularly because I hang out with an older crowd. I live with my parents. I love my parents. They hang out with older people. Anyway, with them, like, they're more concerned about being able to get it, like, legally, right? They're not out here trying to, like, do this kind of illegal shit. So in that sense, I do know that, like, that older market has been buying more consistently from the dispensaries. Again, my experience is very similar to LA. There's a lot of dispensaries everywhere. I guess that the pricing is kind of comparable to what it was in LA, but the market goes to what you're saying. Like, the market, the people aren't rich. Actually, the people are either extremely rich or not rich at all. So the market is very divided in that way. Mm.
What do you pay for, like, per gram?
About the same I paid in LA. I would get an eighth for 30, 40, something like that. This was, guys, I can't do math right now. I paid 60 for that.
That's smooth. Okay.
Yeah.
Short story about this dude that I met in Puerto Rico last time I went. So we were staying in a rented 2-floor apartment. It was like more or less someone's vacation home. But last prior time that I went, like, I found this young kid who hooked it up, brought me to like a couple different hoods where like we were able to like cop weed and shit. Pretty interesting experience, to say the least. But last time I went, I ran into a guy, and I hope he sees this shit because I forgot his name, and he was probably one of the illest people I've ever met. And I was like, hey, man, you have any weed? Like, it's like a shorter guy, dreads, like, look like we could be related very much so. And I'm like, yo, you have any weed? He's like, yeah, hop in. So I'm like, all right. Like, I'm very trusting. Like, I feel like I am not the most kidnappable, or like, I feel like I wouldn't be sought out to be kidnapped. So I hop in, trust him. He drives me like probably 20 minutes away from where we are, where we were staying. And he's like, oh, come in. Like, so I walk into his house. He brings me down, like, basically what would be, like, the basement area. One of the most sophisticated weed grows I have ever seen to date. And I live in Washington, where I get to go visit weed grows. Like, and some of the dopest weed that I've ever had. Like, fucking, and chill dude, like, real, real chill. Like, gave me, like, the crazy hookup. I think I paid, like, $60 for, like, 7 grams of some gas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, complete gas.
Bruh, send me his name. I want to meet this man.
I wish the crazy shit is he had, like, family in Boston. And at the time I was staying, I lived in Rhode Island. He had family in Boston. Like, we're talking about Mass. Like, it's, like, all this crazy shit. But I had lost his number and, like, changing phones. And, yeah.
It's all good.
Cool dude.
So, when you go in to purchase weed, like, do they have different grades? Like, here in Washington or in many places, they have, like, say, 3 tiers. There's the top shelf, which is, like, A plus or whatever. Then there's B grade and C grade at the shop. So, and the price is reflected with that grade of cannabis.
Unless you're in Vegas.
Yes. Unless you're in Vegas and it's
Well, okay. So, out of the dispensaries that I've been to, actually not really. Like, it really looks like a fucking Apple store, mm-hmm. right? But whereas, you know, that there's, like, you got your different iPhones and you got your new grades, like, I do feel like they're more focused on the type of high as opposed to the grade. Like, it's all kind of the same quality and more focused on
got it.
That's you know what I mean? And those are, but those are the ones that I've been to, and I truly haven't been to that many.
Yeah. But I mean, when you find a good one that gives you that sort of customer service and experience, exactly. then why would you change up?
Exactly. I am a creature of habit that way.
And I found the dispensaries that I like the most do, like with the Hip Hop Pot Shop or down in Portland, they have theirs based on the terpene profile. So the based on the effects that it's going to have on you. That's right. How they organize and name their strains and products. So it might have a different name to a general population, but they've either selected and had growers create the strain that they're going to then name, or they smoke the strain and then name it as a team based on his experiences. And then they connected the names themselves are like hip hop artists, like, you know, Outkast or things like that. But it's to reflect how that music itself and makes that experience.
Yeah.
Hands down. Thank you, Keith, for the recommendation to go there, because by far my favorite pot shop, but terpene profile is the way to go when you organize your stock.
That shit is dope. Like, I want to go there. For me, it hasn't been like that, but more so on the, you know, like, how's this going to make you feel? And funny enough, like, has it ever happened to you that they, like, for me, the perspective changes a little bit. So, like, they tell me, like, for example, this one's the more dominant sativa. I don't feel that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And for me, it's part of that learning experience that we're all kind of going through in the industry. You know, Puerto Rico isn't where Washington is. I'm glad to hear what you had said, Marquise, because I didn't know that there would be somebody here that would be that advanced because it's not the norm.
And this is going back some years. This is recently. That's this is cool. Like, I want to say maybe 6 to 8 years ago.
Wow. I definitely wasn't here then.
I was blown at the quality too, because prior to that, like, I got like some decent weed, the shit that everybody was calling crippy at the time, like that's what we was getting. Yeah, I mean, and it was crazy because they don't use baggies. I've seen baggies, I've seen aluminum foil, I've seen shopping bags, I've seen a whole bunch of different shit. I had never seen anyone use the little bubbles that you get from like the quarter machines, like, I mean, and it comes everywhere down there. They had those little bubbles. That's where all our weed came in the whole time we was down there.
I wonder if it's like just the environment that's the best way to package it.
Yeah, just a packaging thing. I think maybe like one dude did it and it kind of took off, and like that was it from there. But it was crazy. So it was just like you would go to like the hood of New York, and they like, yeah, I mean, it'd be like, oh, this is a Red Top, and it'd have like a Red Top on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like some, like the first batch we got had clear bottoms. The second batch from another hood had red bottoms. You know what I mean?
Huh.
I found this dude downtown. Not downtown. It was Old San Juan. Like this cat that I just stumbled on. I bought a couple bags off of him. And they have blue bottoms on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, so.
Okay. They was just classifying and who's who. I think the craziest way I've ever gotten weed is just like put into my hand. Like, I was like, for real?
I've done that before. As a weed man, I've done that. Like, pulled up on somebody and been like, yeah, well, just take it, bro. More than likely, you got sandwich bags upstairs. Yeah.
I was like, I'll make it work. And went on my way. How has weed helped you recently, Emily? And then we'll go around.
So yeah, weed has helped me lately. One, because it's like, it's a relaxing part of my routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like with everything that's going on, just being able to smoke like helps me get through the day to day. It has also, I'm kind of referring back to the last episode, but Heather was talking about how it makes you face things.
Mm-hmm.
We've been on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And weed has made it like deal withable.
Yeah. When you got to face you, man, weed is like, it's okay. Yeah, you know, you complicated and irritating the AF, but you know, and I love you. Let me pat you a little back.
Word. So it's been one of those, and it's been real helpful.
Mm-hmm. Keys?
Therapeutically, medically, and financially, therapeutically, on a day-to-day basis, I do work retail, and I do have to deal with people, and sometimes people suck. So weed helps them not suck as much. But it's like a double-edged sword because I work retail and I work with cannabis. We've been able to stay open and sell weed and sell way more weed than we've been selling prior to COVID-19. So that's like, it sucks that the situation, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that I know personally that right now, like, they are in very, very, like, dire straits. They're, like, check to check. I mean, like, if they're even getting a check. So, I count my blessings. I mean, I put on a smile and I go to work every day. And if it wasn't full weed, like, and I was doing something else, I may not have a job. So,
word.
It's helped me a lot.
I hear.
And I just want to thank people that are coming out, taking the precautions. I mean, so they're not exposing their butt tenders or anybody that they're coming in contact with anything that they may have been exposed to prior to, yeah, I mean, suiting up. There's been a blessing, like, in a time where everything seems to be falling apart.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And the dopest part is that cannabis is that source, like, is that thing that's making you an essential worker when mm-hmm. the government is, like, trying to fuck it up for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that shit is dope. I understand, and, you know, I don't know how you go through your day to day, but it's admirable.
Thank you. Thank you. We've been getting a lot of love. Like, we have a friend that works down the street on Aurora, like, that works at Woodland Pizza. Like, he's plugged us, like, two nights in a row. Like, just brought us pies. Like, yo, I appreciate you guys being here. Like, fucking, yeah, you're really doing a service to, you know what I mean, like, pretty much everyone. It's like, not all heroes wear capes. You know what I mean? Some heroes have apes. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. it's like, I dig that.
Bars.
I dig that.
Oh, man.
That shit's real.
What does Tory Lanez say? Protect the weed man.
You don't touch my hair?
Yeah, he does.
Fish.
He does say
thank you, Warrior.
but yeah, protect the weed man at all costs. That's how I feel, you know, because weed protects me at all costs. Today, I tell you the way it started. This is how I knew. Like, I left my house before I smoked weed. First mistake I made. And then I went to Home Depot at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. Second mistake. But I needed a piece for the power washer, and I waited in line for like,
you know,
45 minutes.
Home Depot is? Home Depot is like the meaning of smoke a blunt before you go somewhere.
I know. Like, I know. I failed myself.
Wait, in what way?
It's so stressful.
It is so stressful. It's so much
visually stressful. Tons of people. Lots of space. It's going to a warehouse to walk up and down to try to find like tiny things.
If you get high,
I like that shit though.
Yeah.
No, I naturally like that shit. Like, mm-hmm. I don't go to Home Depot nearly enough because I would be out there. Like, I treat Home Depot the way other people treat Costco. Like, you go for one thing.
Nah.
And to do a bunch
fuck
of
that. There's no samples. There's no samples.
Like, I love Home Depot.
Home Depot is a place I save up all of the, like repairs I want to do, make a list of everything I need to finish up those repairs, and go to Home Depot that one time and suffer to get what I needed. Basically, I didn't get the main purpose of me going there. And I was very upset when I left because the person that was helping me really didn't want to, like, they were busy, likely stressed. Why is Home Depot swole during a stay-at-home order? Because we are still on that over here. So, like, why is any of this happening? But I do need to power wash my yard. Like, I have to return this thing. So I need this part. And I am trying to be gracious with you and patient, sir. But you walked away from me when I gave you the information I needed. Said you will help
somebody. That part of it. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Trigger, the first thing. And I was like, all right, breathe through it. Then, for you to rent the park, you have to give them a card. But I didn't have enough on my card, but I had all of it in cash. And I was like, can I just give you cash and you just give me change? And he's like, no, we just don't.
You keep the card on file?
Yeah, like, he's like, no, we don't do that. And I was like, okay, well, I've sat in this line for 45 minutes. I didn't say that out loud, but that was my thought. I was like, all right, what if I go to the bank, deposit the money, and come back? Can you just reserve that in my name? No, we don't do that. And I was like, and just walked away. Like, I just took ooh, I need to smoke some weed. That's immediately what I thought. Walked the hell away, got everything I needed, and went straight to the pot shop and got myself a joint. Because the rage that I felt at that moment, and now I'm happy as fuck.
I get that. Okay. Yeah.
Cannabis. Because let me tell you, this old man was about to get it. And he just hates the fact that he's considered essential. Like, that renting home equipment is considered essential. So perspective.
Yeah, that is true. Over here, it's interesting because I don't go out that much because I'm with my parents here. And if there's no reason for me to go out, I won't. But when I do, it stresses me out because, like, there are too many people out. You know, like at 5 o'clock, it's not a, you know, there's not that regular like 5 o'clock bumper to bumper traffic, but there are cars. Like, why am I seeing so many cars? Where's everybody going?
We'll be right back. Let's take a quick break. Yo, thanks for joining us again.
Welcome back.
Some Mace. Is that Mace, right? I'm not tripping, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, let me get into the... Back. Yes, I am. Like, just like intro beats and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be like, oh, I know who's coming on next. I love when DJs drop it a little bit early before they end another song to see who catches it or who hears it, and also to like sync the beats. But so Biden,
Joey B,
my man, my man.
Bugged, yo. Tone deaf, man. Very, very tone deaf.
Yes, that is an excellent way to put it.
I've been inundated with the amount of bullshit that's currently going on during this pandemic. Like it's like the pandemic scare and craziness, and then everything else everyone wants to do. Right. And this is like, my dude, really? You, like, no one sat in the room. You have all this fucking time because y'all can't go nowhere and do nothing else. And this is what the fuck y'all decided on. Did you speak to Black people? Did you speak to stoners?
My thing is, did you speak to anyone? Point blank, period. Because the fact is, the way that this is worded and it's supposed to be for Black people and something that you include is weed, that's very tone deaf. Because white counterparts smoke just as much. And the older age groups, our white counterparts, smoke way more. So I just think it's really funny that, like, that's how you decide to, like, work something like this in. It, like, I don't know. It's weird to me.
Bro, so that's a shit show in and of itself. Like you were saying, it's the pandemic and then everything else. Like, these are our options. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's the type of thing that, not that they get to, but this bill is the bare minimum to show that he's better than the opposition. I don't mean to get political about this, but it's
that's what it's designed to do. Basically, you have to appease a wider array of audience so you get a large Democratic vote. Like, you have to, like, hit the key things that they were asking you about and they've been challenging you on. So here's something. Here's a little fluff.
It goes back to like how tone deaf it is, because they're just like, well, appease them, fuck it, while we're worrying about this other big thing. And it's like, clearly it's a very separate world that we're living in. You know, like, it's them and then it's the rest of us.
So not only are you saying, well, Black people smoke weed, so here's something for you. Let's just make it legal, right?
Let's appease the Black people. Let's make weed. Right.
Okay, cool. But, bro, you're responsible for the drug crimes. Like, what are you saying now? Like, are you saying that in your old age you got wiser, that you didn't know the impact of the laws that you helped create would have on the community, so now you're being nice to us and you're giving us weed? Do you think, like, we can't rewind the tape and see where you started? You know what I mean? Because you hung out with a Black president? You now understand Black people?
I really can't wait to see the meme that somebody makes about this shit. You know how they got, like, Trump, and he's, like, he's sitting at the desk like he's Scarface and shit. Mm-hmm. He's like, give him all 1,200. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see Joe Biden shit with him, like, I mean, sitting with a hoodie on, trying to sell somebody some weed or tell somebody that he got some weed from or some shit like that.
Make
it's going to make a good meme. It's a fucking situation. Good content creation.
Yes.
Exactly. Work.
But now I'm wondering, like, will this shit work? are people really going to fall for this shit? Thank you to Leafly for this article that they dropped that I'm referencing and I read. Not that I didn't immediately see this and think these things, but they like put all the details, that the nuances that folks need to understand about why it's so stupid of him to drop it the way he did. Because you know what you should have done, Mr. Biden, Mr. Former Vice President Biden, Joe Biden, you could have just said, I'm sorry for what I've done. And I know you may have bullshitted, but you could literally accept the responsibility of what impacted the color community or the community of color. And then say, here is a bill that I sat down and wrote with people of color to make amends. You know what I mean? Like, you could have just taken these steps. There's time. There's time for it.
There is time for it, but he's showing where that priority is. You know what I mean? Because, like, he's not doing it for us. The way that I think everything is a movie, he feels like that guy that is trying to appeal, like, he's just trying to appeal to what he thinks is going to get him the presidency, which isn't us. He's not catering to us. So he is not trying to appeal us. He thinks he's got us in the pocket because he hung out with a black president. And because he, like, you know, we call him Uncle Joe or whatever. But that's not who he's trying to appease to. He's trying to appease to the people that he wants to bring over from Trump. Mm-hmm. And those are very, very different people.
Two last thoughts on this. And the first thought is that, so you propose this, we're going to decriminalize it. Well, decriminalizing it doesn't help what cannabis needs and has been hindering it for the last 60 years or more since it was prohibited, which is research. It doesn't help you understand more why so many people find this plant healing to them, something that they need on a daily basis. You didn't set anything up for that.
My thing with decriminalization is just a pivot. It's helpful to certain points, but what happens with the decriminalization is smaller amounts are now made legal to possess. But what happens is larger amounts are now penalized, like way heavier, one. Two, the cultivation aspect of it, if you get caught cultivating, because it's decriminalized, they usually stiffen those laws way more. And now cultivation is now manufacturing. It's not just possession. It's usually they switch to manufacturing. Now you're manufacturing a drug on top of possession of a drug. And that's way more time that you're just tacking on to every sentence that you're given. So decriminalization isn't really a place to look.
Yeah. It needs to be descheduled. Like, you know what happened to cannabis in the beginning. You know the roles that were played to make it illegal and deny the research. And now research is happening in places that aren't here, but the research itself is being poo-pooed because there are standards at which studies and things like this can occur. And the markets that they're doing it in aren't as highly recognized as, say, like Germany or the United States, like Europe doing the research, right? So until United States like really allows cannabis to be studied the way it needs to and tested on humans the way it needs to, we're never going to have the answers that we're all really just searching for. And my final thought, Mr. Biden, is like, you know, you can do some nigga shit and not be a nigga. I'm just letting you know, you can do some nigga shit and not be a nigga. Just because we call you Uncle Joe, you cool. You really don't get us because you've never lived this experience. So maybe start talking to us.
Exactly. Not just that. Like, you've never lived the experience and you're not making the effort to talk to somebody about it. Like, how else do you learn about other fucking cultures?
Not from rich people. Like, you're not going to learn about a poor man's perspective without talking to them. Like, really. And listening. So maybe light up. Get lit. Talk to someone. Because this ain't it. This ain't it. High Times. They are doing some interesting things. And the reason why I saw this article and I actually wanted to talk about it is that Luke and I dove into what industry plants are looking like and a very corporate structure going into cannabis culture and running businesses. And here we take what was a magazine company and definitely about cannabis culture, but now they're owning, what, 13 retail shops on top of that?
My thing is, I don't understand
what they're doing.
Yeah, because not only the retail shops, like within the last few years, they bought quite a few publications, mm-hmm. shut those publications down. They are now listed on stock market.
Yeah. So what are you doing with High Times that was something that was so like original cannabis culture magazine? Now you're owning dispensaries, you're doing all of this. You've had three CEOs in like 6 months or a year and a half. Like your last one lasted 4 months. I have an idea what's going on. Running anything related to cannabis due to the legal situation is complex. Like marketing cannabis, any of that is really, really difficult. And they're taking people that run Victoria's Secret. Selling panties is easy. Selling sex is easy. Taking people that have run those sort of companies and putting them into something that, while it's a corporate structure, and yes, if you've done it before, you can run this that way, but you need to know something about cannabis. Like, you really need to understand the plant to run a corporation about cannabis. And if you don't understand every part of that industry before you walk in to the door to run that business, you are going to be unsuccessful. You are going to fail if your board isn't tight. And now imagine if their board and what's going on internally is all fucked up. Oh my goodness. That's hard for someone to start that position and run that when everything's a disaster inside and you don't know nothing about cannabis.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like there's definitely something bigger with these guys, like, amiss, like, because the rush to be listed mm-hmm. publicly, the whole CEO situation, the buying of the 13 mm-hmm. farms, like, it just, I mean, retail locations, and I don't know, so many questions. I have so many questions.
Yeah, it's like, who's running this shit?
It's definitely shifty. Like, it kind of goes back to one of the other conversations. Like, cannabis, it has the potential to be such a healing industry, right? But when people start getting that kind of like taste, that shit, I feel like it just corrupts it.
The whole point of cannabis was to not do that, you know? It's the money associated when you realize the profit. Like down to your regular weed man, the best ones just love the plant and love how it...
Isn't that the case with everything, though? Yeah. Because everything that is born pure and beautiful and with the best of intentions, like, the bigger it grows, the more power it has, changes.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's, as you were talking, that's what kept going through my mind. It's like, you can see the different incentives to kind of like decrease your quality in order to make more profit.
Mm-hmm. Look at what's going on in Missouri right now. They have a whole investigation going on about like just what the licenses and how people were getting things. And
but they just got caught with their hand
dirty
in the cookie jar.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, not really, somebody stopped and was like, hey man, this isn't right.
Yeah, somebody snitched on them. Not snitching. They blew the whistle, which I do support. I don't care that cannabis came from black market. If we're going to go legal, fucking do it like fully legal and do it right. I know the system right now is complex, and that's what needs to be fixed so the black market can be erased. But the black market doesn't have to exist in cannabis. And, you know, like, they need regulation. Like, there are standards. You could actually hurt someone by selling moldy flour. Like, there should be some level of care and regulation to what's being served to the masses. Or you allow people to grow their own shit, don't regulate it, and like, you know, remove it off of the federal scheduling. Honestly, that would be like perfect for all cannabis consumers. That way I can put the love and attention I want into the plant that I'm going to consume. Problem is, how are you going to tax it? How is the country going to benefit?
Mm-hmm. I think, contrary to what you think about the black market, I feel as if there is a need for the black market, as long as there's a group that's disproportionate, and there will always be a group that is disproportionate, there is going to be a need for the black market, point blank, period.
I agree with that.
As we move more towards making it like a bigger industry and companies becoming corporations, that people tend to move further and further away from the original vision, which is supplying people with a medicine or with something that is helpful and beneficial to them. The, what becomes more important is the bottom line and how much are we making, how much can, what cost can we cut? So I feel like the black market in a lot of situations are going to be those guys who love the plant, mm-hmm. who take care of the plant, who are like, I mean, because at the end of the day, like, not everybody has and or will have like that money to be able to get into the door and become a part of what this is and what this is going to become.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's valid. Those are, you know, valid thoughts. I just, you know, the black market comes with the risk as long as it's illegal. So why can't it be a gray market? Put a different color on it. Stop sending people to jail.
Like, we're supposed to be evolving into the future, right? And we're trying to make it a better one. Like, then we can have, a, like you said, a gray scale, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't have to be this or that. Like, it's, I feel real, like, tree huggery about it. like, look at where I live, right? So mm-hmm. it's just, like, to me, it's like, how can a plant, like, the ones that I have here, I'll take a picture so that you guys can see them. But, like, my parents love this fucking, like, little garden. They put time and care to this every single day. And sure, they pay for like to buy the plants, but then they're like growing the shit. And it's not this huge fight and battle and different markets and danger and things about these plants. And the only reason is because you can just fucking smoke it. You know what I mean? And we've put so much into weed, right? Into that industry. And it is like, it is a profitable industry. I think it's an amazing industry, but for there to be such a battle with it, you know, off profits alone, the shit blows my mind.
Speaks to the greed of man.
Yep.
That's how I do that. Well, finally, coolest thing is that Colombia is like, well, legally sending us seeds. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was times where folks is going to have to travel. There was that Vice show, Seed Hunters or something like that. And it was Strain Hunters.
Strain Hunters.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah. Okay.
It was Colombian gangs and in the jungle trying to find like the rarest.
Over
like,
Africa.
Yeah. Like, oh, it was crazy. But now they're shipping us some hemp seeds because it's legal.
People finding that gray market.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
First step. Yeah, and I've been wondering, like, you know, what happened to Colombian weed, you know? Did the genetics get spread out in those world seed banks between there and, like, Amsterdam, and so now it's being grown elsewhere? Or have I not smoked bomb-ass Colombian weed in my life and I need to go there? Like
Colombian gold, I've had, which I've smoked pretty good. And then I believe that's a land race. I think there might be another land race. Can't recall right now.
I could travel around the world smoking weed, you know, and talking about weed and learning about how weed culture developed in that area. Like you giving us a little history lesson on Puerto Rico and your experiences while down there and where it's at right now, just in like 6 to 8 years is crazy, you know?
And to me, it's like, that's become like my new priority for like when this is over, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like now I wanted to travel for like, you know, like just to say that I did it. Now I want to go, like you said, mm-hmm. for like the cannabis experience. Like, how are you different from home? I'm telling you, this fucking podcast has changed my life.
Light up and listen. I've been treating myself with some cannabis and some music recently. And Smino, he loves me. I know he does. He knows that I miss seeing him at Afropunk in Atlanta when I went there. So he dropped an album on my birthday. And I have been banging it ever since. Well, it's a mixtape. It's not an album. And it's called She Already Decided. And you're right. You know what I mean? I already decided that you're the greatest. I've been decided. I've been new. I just needed, you know, so you gave me an album. And I don't know. Have you guys listened to it at all? Like, it's wavy. I played you some one time, Keith, I think.
Yeah, I listened to a few tracks off it. Mm-hmm. Quite a few tracks. The homie Josh that works with me at Greenside mm-hmm. actually was Shmino's assistant mm-hmm. for a period of time.
Dope.
Shout out to Josh.
Yeah, that's talent right there because he's an artist. You really can't put him in a box. Just the way he slurs his words, it'll fit any beat, you know? Like, it's like he's dancing along the beat when he's rapping or singing, because he'll mix it up, you know? Have you heard it, Emily?
Yeah, so I heard it once. I'm, like, the way that I listen to music, I have to hear it many times. It happens with TV shows, too. Guys, I am the nerdiest editor. Like, having listened to it the one time, most of what I heard was the beats, and I fuck with it. Like, I want to listen to those again, especially, like, thinking in my editor brain, right? Like, I'm thinking of stories all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is, like, a peek into
it. And it's a story. His album is a story, and it's, like, a story of self-care. And right. It's exactly what I needed to go through this period, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Perfect to roll a blunt and just vibe to Wake and Bake session. Drop that on, and then you just feel like a whole new woman.
What I've heard of it so far, like, I really like it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, Tom Misch, I think, and Yusuf Days, What Kind of Music. It's very trippy. I don't know. I love it.
I fuck with it.
Yeah, like...
I fuck with it.
Yeah. I said I'm going to have to give it a listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The vibe feels real nice listening mm-hmm. to it. I was listening to it right before, like, as I was setting up for this, mm-hmm. and it, like, it's a cool, like, kind of like calming vibe. The beats, again, like, I've been focused on beats a lot lately, mm-hmm. and that shit, like, I like it.
He's very talented. His Instagram is amazing, like, especially during this quarantine. He's just been ripping on the guitar and just vibing on lives throughout this entire time. And I heard his music before, but I follow this Instagram account called Slept On Gems or something like that. I'll drop it. But the stuff that account shares, and a lot of it ended up being Tom Misch at different times. And I was like, oh, I like that video. I like that video. I like that video. And then I saw the album in iTunes, and I was like, again, perfect Wake and Bake music.
I listen to stuff in repetition, like I said. So, like, you send me, like, a lot of music, which, one, thank you. Mm. I'm learning so much, but, like, I don't listen to it as quickly. I don't listen to it as quickly as, you know, as anybody does. I love this sound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've heard, I'll put this, the what it sounds like at mm-hmm. night, like the room tone in Puerto Rico. I'll put mm-hmm. it, play a little bit, because it is amazing. Just listening to nature here. So I don't listen to music that much. When mm. I do listen to music, then I'm like, oh shit, this is good. And then I gotta repeat that shit. Mm. So it takes me forever to listen to music. So I'm still stuck on Bad Bunny, which was, like, right at the beginning of the
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's hot. It's hot. It's hot.
Yo. And that is a journey that, for me, I'm like, holy shit.
Because it gets old school.
Yeah,
it's old school reggaeton vibes.
He goes all over the map. Like, legit, he takes me through a trip through time, like, growing up in Puerto Rico, obviously, right. In regards to, like, that music. The shit is amazing. It's hilarious. It is disgusting. It is wonderful. It is, like, an amazing album.
It's in Spanish, everybody.
It is in Spanish. Sorry.
It's lit, though. I don't know. I'm like, yo, so what is he talking about here? Is it sex? It's probably sex, right? Yeah.
But also, because, okay, and here's what's so great about it. Because, yes, for the most part, talking about sex, like, nasty shit. But then there's one song called Yo Perreo Sola, and that means, like, I dance alone.
Mm-hmm.
A particular dance that we do out here called El Perreo. And so... basically, she's talking about how before she used to want him and he didn't want her. He didn't pay no mind to her. But now she's chilling. She's good, whatever. And it's like a song of female empowerment. In his raps, he's talking about, like, fucking respect women. The music video, like, there's a big neon sign that says Respeta la Mujer, and he's dressed in drag. Like,
dope.
He's
progressive. He's very
His whole thing is that he has his third eye open, and mm-hmm. then he fucking proves it to you
mm-hmm.
in a neatly packaged, beautifully, like, produced way.
Mm-hmm.
I stand behind that kid 1,000,000%.
How old is he?
He's 24.
Makes sense.
I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but yeah, he's, like, in his early 20s.
Appropriate age group to be fucking open to everything.
Yup. Yep.
He might be spoiled, but he's open to everything.
Yes, and but he's that type of kid. I feel like he's our Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Like,
I would agree.
Like, he knew what he wanted. He was just going to go for it. And, like, he's him, you know? And I don't know. He surprises me with every single like interview. I do follow him. He's like the one celebrity that I'm like, what's he been up to? Because he is really like, he's on some progressive shit at this age. Like there was one time, y'all know who Don Omar is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I always have to ask.
The hits.
I always have to ask. So Don Omar said some like homophobic shit.
Of course.
And Bad Bunny tweeted at him. And he was like, bro, at this stage of the game, really? In Spanish. But like, that's what he said to him. And it's like, this kid is really just like,
my God.
First of all, dismissing your shit. And then like making you feel inferior. God damn. Like that is.
Yeah, because Don Omar, legend.
Okay.
Legend, you know, guys. I mean? You know what I mean? So,
like,
hits, baby. Hits. Okay. So, for a kid to be like, yeah, you bugging right now is serious.
Yup. So,
Keith, what you been on? What you been listening to?
Yo, that's Scott, the Scots. Travis Scott and Kid Cudi.
The album?
Fucking repeat. Now they're dropping an album. I can't wait for that shit. But the song on repeat. Like I can't wait. The production value is gonna be through the roof. This is gonna be one for you. And like for real, okay. All the way. Yeah, like this the production
value. To me when it drops.
I already know this shit's gonna be crazy. But besides that, I've been Nav just dropped the album, like brand new, like just dropped it. Lil Tay J. A newer artist that I like. I mean, I've been rocking to his shit. Shit that I've been listening to that is kind of newer. The Plugs I Met, Benny the Butcher, and everything that Griselda's doing right now. I mean, that's like more underground New York. Like, I mean, upstate New York niggas and shit. But they're killing it right now. They got some fire coming out. Mm-hmm. But the Scott music of epic proportion. Kid Cudi has, he literally has a cult following. Mm-hmm. They literally have named a religion after him, Cutterism. Like people who follow him and his every word and everything that he drops. Like for good reason, like he came at a time where like a lot of people pretty lost. Much needed him. Yeah, you know I mean, mm-hmm. And like we did have like a nation of like lost youth. He did guide quite a few people out of a very dark place, myself included. Like, so
with
like,
his struggle, with the story of his struggle,
and being able to like vocalize that shit, and then at the end of everything, be like, yo, shit's fucked up. You're in a fucked up place. I'm in a fucked up place. But at the end of the day,
that's fine.
We're gonna be all right.
Have you seen the video of him dancing to MGMT? Like, on it's the best video. Like, he's so groovy.
You can't not smile. If
so you groovy. That
video and you don't smile, like, that's going to be my test in the future when we have, like, fucking robots that look like humans and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't smile when you see that video, I know you're a fucking robot.
Yeah. Because he was, like, living. Yo, and we all see it.
But do y'all know Whitney Cummings, the stand-up comedian?
Mm-hmm.
She talks about, like, the whole robot factory. Like, she went into a robot factory and then pulls out a fucking robot that looks like her on stage.
Uh-huh. I saw that. And then she did the bit with the robot.
Yeah, she did. And, like, it doesn't fully look like her yet, but we're getting there.
But, no, there's another one who has an Instagram account and 3 songs out on, like, their charting songs. I am not fucking with y'all. Like, she be posing on Instagram, like, Liddy.
So what do you... When you say,
I'm gonna Google this right now.
She has music.
Is this a person robot. Recording music?
Nah, bro.
And robot. Saying it's the robot, or is the robot dead ass? Like, what do you mean?
With music.
What do you mean? Like, I'm not ready for this. Like, we're like, for us to be like at this point in the future. I'm not ready for this shit. I gotta go to work in a few days. Like, yo,
I'm telling you, I'm trying to.
Yo, Michaela, let's do this.
Lil Michaela, her Instagram account is LilMiQuela. This bitch has 2.2 million followers, right? Her bio says chain seeking robot.
No.
Listen to me right now. Chain seeking robot.
That is the first step.
Machine. That's the first step
to machine domination. A procreation of culture and assimilation, so then they're like, oh, well, these fucking robots are cool. These guys, you heard the song. She can't be that bad. First step to robot domination.
Yep.
I'm calling this shit right now.
It's happening.
I mean, that and coupled with the shit that Boston Dynamics is doing with the robots you can't knock down and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling this shit right now, B.
We made a movie about it saying, hey, we don't want to do this. And everyone was like, oh, shit.
Let's do this.
Same shit with like Jurassic Park. I feel like all of these movies, like these movies were supposed to be entertainment, not warnings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yo, there's not a movie about robots becoming sentient beings. There's not one movie or show where it ends and like we're like arm in arm with robots and it's like, man, we had a rough past, but we're hit. No, these motherfuckers always wipe us up. Like, it's never a good thing.
Yeah, it's not cool.
We don't, I don't think that we have the time or capacity to talk about it now, but I'm gonna drop Everything Is Fucked. Like, have y'all read that book?
No.
It is a great ass book to kind of like for me, I'm not gonna speak on anybody else. It's an intense book, but it is helping me cope with all of this shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like all of this knowledge and all
I
of
like
this,
name.
The shit is scary. It's called Everything Is Fucked, a book about hope. And it is not what you think it's gonna be, but like I said, to me it fucking helped.
All right. when people drop a book, I like to give a book. So, artists that I really like, Junior Diaz, you probably know him. He's Puerto Rican. His book, Drown, that's one of my favorite books ever. It's a series of stories, and it's fire. Shit is fire.
Word. I haven't gotten as into him yet because I'm still fighting with the ones from high school. Legit, like y'all know, 100 años de soledad, 100 years of solitude.
Yeah,
it's like that was one of the books that I had to read in 12th grade. Fucking hated it, mostly because like I had to learn shit for the test. But now, in this day and age, like I'm feeling like I need to redo those. Mm-hmm. But yes, what I have read of Juno Diaz is great. So, yes, keep talking.
I like him, and I like him. The one reason why I like him is because we were in high school. And I had like one of these like really like artsy, flowery ass like fucking English teachers, and she's like mad hippie and shit, and she thought she was like mad progressive. So we're gonna read Drown, and Drown, like there's like a lot of like there's fucking drug use, explicit drug use. There's like few stories have like sex scenes within the stories, but I wish I could remember the part of the book that she like. We're having a discussion about what this part of the book means, and we as students felt like it meant something else. And she's like, no, you're wrong. It means this. I'm a teacher. No type situation, no. Right?
See?
So she calls this bro. Nigga, son.
No.
Gets this nigga on the phone. Yo, your man's spazzed on. Like, yo, he went the fuck.
She called, wait, who, him?
She got him on the phone. She was able to get in touch with the publishing company. The publishing company ended up like getting like, I mean,
what?
Oh, it's for a class, it's for high school. All right. So they patched her in. So she's talking about this part, like everything's cool. Like he's talking about like writing and why it's important like for students to write. He's glad that we're reading this book. Then we get to the discussion about certain parts of the book. And the discussion comes up on the translation of a certain part. And she's telling him, she's translating his shit. To him.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? And the students felt like it was this, but I know it. And she's giving him, yo, your man's went the fuck off. Like, yo, he's like, he's like from your tone, I can tell you're white. Ooh. And then it just boom, yo, and we're fucking, yo, whole class, everybody in there, all Dominican, black. Yeah, I mean, Puerto Rico, we are fucking losing our
minds. Of course. Loud laughing. Real ignorant. Tables being slapped.
He had some choice words for her that day. She ended up, like, picking the phone up, like, taking it off the speaker and shit. Yo, that speaker went off. That's, yo, I will never forget. Like, on my deathbed, that would be a moment that I recap with everybody around me and shit. Like, this one time, like, lean close. And I'm going to tell that story. Shit, yo, we were fucking.
It's memorialized. Nice. I fucking love it.
Yeah, nah, like
anyway, there's
the
no
world's going to
like for a teacher to find out that they're wrong, then like in a situation like that, hands down.
My moments where you're like, karma is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Millie Rock would have been a dance at that point, I would have Millie Rocked in the middle of the
But I have one question. Why is it always the English teachers? Like, why is it always English teachers that get that I'm right and you're wrong when it's art? When it's art. Yeah, like, okay, like you can be I'm right and you're wrong with math. You can be I'm right and you're wrong with science. But this is English. Yeah. It's up for interpretation. It's written word. What the fuck is wrong with you, bro?
Yeah.
Well, there's no right and wrong here. It's discussion. But
yo, I gotta run my man.
Okay. Up. Wait. No worries. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All righty.
It was nice meeting you somewhat in person.
The best we can do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drop the outro, which is it's dope that you took the time to have a day with us until the next session. Remember, we're just three functional potheads out here trying to bring a light and truth about cannabis. Get out of here, my man.
Peace.
I just wanted to talk about a dope event coming up from the Bakersman Collective. Baked and Blessed, we're having a Memorial Day sesh. So the 25th of May at 4:20 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are having our, you know, virtual smoke sesh, which we normally do every week or just about every week on Sundays. But this one, there'll be a giveaway. I'm not dropping what I'm giving away yet, but I do have it, and it'll be great. And a couple artists, as well as hopefully a performance. So I'm just imploring all of you to come smoke with us, because it gets lonely out there, you know, just smoking. It's great smoking your own weed. It's great not having to share your own weed, but you do miss the camaraderie.
You do. And I mean, like, no, and this is like a legit event. This shit is dope.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to know who's performing. I want to know what you're giving away.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we out of here.